In my experience, what I see is that the policymakers don't really get into the science of vaping. They just act on what they hear from the anti-tobacco advocates, and they come in and they tell them that, you know what, it's not good, it's really harmful.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Vaping Unplugged podcast. Everything you need to know about vaping and tobacco harm reduction.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to the podcast Vaping Unplugged. My name is Lisa. I will be your host today. We are talking about vaping and vaping policies globally. And today we will be talking about the situation in Bangladesh. For that, we invited a very interesting guest, Shuman Zaman. Shuman is a pioneer in Bangladesh's vaping industry, having started his journey in 2012. We'll be asking you more about your journey. Shuman is a founding convener of Voice of Vapers, which is a local organization in Bangladesh, a community that is dedicated to supporting, educating, and connecting vapers across the nation. So thank you very much, Mr. Zaman, for making it to our podcast today. It's a pleasure.
Thank you very much for inviting me. And I'd like to thank your audience and your organization for arranging this and having me here. I'm really happy to be here. Thank you.
It's our pleasure. We're always happy to chat with most prominent THR advocates. So I'll go on and just ask you about your vaping journey. If you could tell our listeners, what's your background with tobacco harm reduction and what's your current work with the vaping community?
Okay. I started vaping back in 2012. Before that, I was a very heavy smoker. I used to smoke around two packs a day. And I think I was a smoker for 27 years or something like that. And I tried to quit many times, but I couldn't. It just didn't work for me going cold turkey. I tried to reduce, but you understand, reducing doesn't sustain. And after a while, I got into an import-based business. I import guitars, and I have some retail stores here. So I worked with USA, and one of my forwarders once told me that we used to talk on Skype, and he used to tell me that, you know what, Shuman, you're going to die. The way you smoke and the rate of smoking, you're going to die soon. And I said, come on, it's okay. Don't worry about it. He said, look, I'm going to send you something. It's a rather new technology here. And we see a lot of, he doesn't smoke any which way, but he saw people talk about it. And he sent me a vaping a kit with a e-liquid. And I thought, with my next shipment of guitars, of course, inside of one of the guitars. And I thought, and there was a very nice letter attached to it. He said, hey, Shuman, don't die on us. So, and in the back of my mind, I was always thinking that I need to quit because my wife was pregnant. I didn't want my child to be around cigarettes when he or she grows up. So I was looking for some a way out. Anyways, I tried it, and to my surprise, I found it to work. I instantly understood that yes, it will do. I think I can make it. And then from that day onwards, it's been, I think, 12 years. I never had to take even one puff of cigarette. And I was quite renowned among my friends, community, the other musician people that as a other musicians as a heavy smoker. So when they used to meet me, they used to see me vape, and they'd be surprised that what is that thing, and how come you're not smoking and using, what is that thing? And it was absolutely new in Bangladesh, as you mentioned, that we are the pioneer in the industry. And from their curiosity and them seeing me not smoking and being able to quit smoking using a thing called vape, they got intrigued, and a lot of them asked me if I could bring them that they would want to try and get out of smoking. That actually triggered me towards that, hey, why don't I go for a vaping business as well, that could help others quit smoking. That's how actually I got into this business, because I had to bring in my own supply from abroad, and it wouldn't hurt bringing a few more for the others. And slowly I saw that I have 30, 40, 50 people depending on me for their supply of vape. And in short, in brief, that is it. And also, a lot of my customers later opened vape shops of their own. And that is how we kind of created a community and a business together as well.
Yeah, it's fascinating how most of the vape shop owners are actually people who quit
Yes.
once and found this
Yes.
technology to help them, and then they launch vape
Yes.
shops and are helping other
Yes.
people to quit. So
Yes.
it's a very inspirational story. Thank you for
Absolutely.
telling us about that. I just want to move on to the situation in Bangladesh. So before we dive into talking about for instance, WHO's influence and all of that, more in detail stuff. I just want to ask you if you could give us an overview of what's the situation in Bangladesh. So, what are the current smoking rates, and what is the legislative framework generally for vaping, also maybe conventional tobacco? So, what's the comparison? Because in many countries, vaping is treated more strictly than cigarettes, which is nonsense, but. So could you tell us about what's going on in Bangladesh?
That's an interesting question. I think our population, it's a small country, Bangladesh, but we have 170 million plus people. It's densely populated, and roughly 36% of adults are male, are smokers. And I think 2 to 3% are of women are also smoker, and this is data from 2018. And I'm sure within the past 6 years the number has grown, and the smoking rates have gone up. And about the regulation, there is absolutely no regulation in place for vaping as we as of now, but we want it to be regulated. We have since I have I work with Voice of Vapers to spread the awareness among the smokers and the community. At the same time, I work with 30 to 34 other vendors, other vape shops, so that we could try and have dialogue with the policymakers, the health ministry officials, and try and get a suitable regulation for vaping. Right now, what's happening is I don't know if you know the there was a change in government back in August. The previous government had they received the Tobacco Control Amendment Act, where there were heavy regulations on smoking proposed, and also they proposed to ban vaping, but it was rejected from the parliament. And but the not as as a whole, it was asked to be edited and brought back. And that's what we know. And this amendment has not yet been done, so there's still time for the policymakers to actually look into the science of vaping, to actually try and understand what it is. Because in my experience, what I see is that the policymakers don't really get into the science of vaping. They just act on what they hear from the anti-tobacco advocates, and they come in and they tell them that, you know what, it's not good, it's really harmful, and you should probably ban it or do this or that. But we need to be able to make them understand that this is a harm reduction tool, and if we want the country to go tobacco free, we have to use some sort of a tool. Without a tool, you cannot have the smokers, you just cannot ask them to quit from tomorrow. You know what, this is the law, and from tomorrow smoking is banned, so nobody will smoke. That there's not a world that is actually possible to do. So first, we need to acknowledge that smoking is addictive. It is extremely addictive. And if a person is addicted to something, you need proper tools and also some psychological guidance for them to, you know, counseling for them to be able to quit. And vaping is the most successful quitting tool out there, the best harm reduction tool, and against tobacco. And it is really, really surprising that the anti-tobacco of our country, they want to regulate tobacco and ban vaping, whereas their main fight is against tobacco. And they should actually embrace vaping and promote vaping. That is what actually gets me wondering, you know? I was
it's
clear.
Quite everywhere, I would say, like everywhere, with kind of absence of policymakers and also some of the NGOs or groups that are just advocating to ban everything, and there is this absence of understanding of how harm reduction works actually and how important it might be for public health. But just moving on, you've mentioned that there was this Tobacco Act. I'm sorry for my voice.
No, it's fine. No problem.
Proposed last year, I think it was, and I know it was proposed by the Prime Minister. So I just read that it was mostly influenced by WHO and FCTC, this act to basically regulate and ban vaping, for instance. So could you tell us a little bit more on how WHO actually influences the policymakers in Bangladesh, whether it has a big influence? And you already mentioned it, but maybe also how aware policymakers are about scientific evidence on vaping.
Yes. The previous prime minister, it's not that she wanted to ban vaping. I think that government had a vision of having Bangladesh tobacco free by the year 2040. And having said that, the Tobacco Control Act was always is prepared from the Ministry of Health, and then submit it to the Parliament, and that's where actually they get it either tweaked or edited, or and then probably approved. Currently, it will be the process will be similar, but it will be submitted to the new government. But Health Ministry obviously will be doing this, that because it is their job. Now, coming back to WHO, you see, WHO has a good influence over the policymakers, and obviously they try to go by their prescription. They try to listen to what they say, and they try to implement it in our country if it's possible, if it suits the country's needs and everything. But you see, WHO is not saying vaping is good. They're saying vaping is not good for you, which we also agree. Yeah, vaping is not good for you. We are not saying that vaping has vitamin K and you should take it as health supplement. We are not saying that. What WHO didn't do is that they did not place it as a harm reduction tool, as a quitting device, and place it tobacco versus vape. And this is what they have not done. They have, they told you that tobacco is harmful, which is correct. They told you vaping is harmful. That is also correct. But we need to compare the two and see which one is lesser evil. And you'll see that maybe 90%, 95%, whatever the percentage is, it is definite that science tells us that vaping is much, much, much more significantly safer than combustible smoking. Now, our policymakers are looking into what has WHO said about vaping. Okay, they said that it is not that safe, so yeah, ban it. But the perspective should be to understand that the vaping is a harm reduction tool. It is not a recreational tool. That is what WHO wants you to understand. I think that this is not a recreational tool. A person who is a non-smoker should not be vaping. A person who is not of legal age should not be vaping. And that is what we believe as well. From day one, we have never sold to an underage person. And we try and maintain this. And these are the regulations that we are trying to have in our country. These are the regulations that we advocate for our country through the policymakers. And we must look at vaping from the point of harm reduction for tobacco. And that is it.
Definitely, yes, it's very important. Of course, no one is saying that vaping has no harm at all, but it's important to differentiate between the harm in itself and which substance is more and
Absolutely.
Less harmful. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about harm reduction. So you've been talking a little bit about the science and about how aware policymakers are, but mostly, like in many countries, you meet a lot of misinformation about vaping. And we, as WVA, we're always trying to provide accurate information and fight those myths that you encounter very often in different forms, but mostly they're very similar. So my question is, what are the probably strangest myths or most popular myths that you have heard around you in the community, maybe not in the community as people who vape might be more informed, but people who don't know much or are targets of misinformation. What is the most common myths that you've heard around vaping in Bangladesh?
Thank you. I think there are so many. And from Voice of Vapers, we regularly post a series called the Myth Busters. We it's not that we invent them. We find them online and we take snapshots and ideas from there as well. So you see, in Bangladesh, I think the most dangerous misrepresentation of the truth is that people think, that includes the policymakers, I'm sure, that they think that nicotine is extremely harmful, and nicotine is the main harmful thing that is comes from the cigarette, the combustible smoking, and people die from nicotine. And vaping has nicotine, so vaping is bad. And they also think that there are people who thinks that vaping is much more harmful than conventional combustible smoking. There's that. But what they miss out is that actually there's a saying that the smokers are addicted to nicotine, but they die from tar. So they are missing out that the tar is the main killer, and it is absolutely absent in vaping or any other tobacco replacement therapy out there. So I think the most popular one is that nicotine is extremely harmful and it will kill you. I think that is one of the most, and also that cigarettes are bad because it has nicotine. These are the two things I've seen.
Yeah, I think nicotine perception is problem everywhere. Like, it's unimaginable how many medical health experts even perceive nicotine as carcinogenic, for instance, which is not. We try to fight that. And you also mentioned that you are fighting misinformation in Bangladesh. You've mentioned that you are advocating for sensible regulations for vaping. So talking about your projects and your activities, my question is, what are your upcoming goals with Voices of Vapers Bangladesh? And also, do you foresee any opportunity that harm reduction policy might be endorsed in Bangladesh for the nearest future?
We are hopeful. We are really hopeful that we will be able to implement a proper harm reduction policy for our country. We want to work with the importers, the retailers, the vendors, as well as the vapers, the vaping community, because they are the main stakeholder, the people who are using it, the people who are actually being able to live a better life using vaping, because their voices must be heard, and their voices actually matters, not the people, not the business community, because business community is business community, but the users, they have a right to live a better life, a healthier life. And you, and I'm referring to the policymakers and the government, that no, you cannot take it away just like that. You need to give us the opportunity to sit with you, to talk with you, to listen to the reasons, show you the sciences, and you need to make time to go through the science, not go through the misinformations that is being fed to you with bullet points, with one or two sheet of paper. You just take a look and say, okay, I understand this is bad, let's ban it. This should not be the way, because you need to look into the countries like United Kingdom, New Zealand, USA. You see, what happens in Bangladesh is that there's a group, they just come and say, you know what, 30 or 40 countries have banned vaping. It is that bad. Why are we sitting around and not banning it yet? It's being late. But you see, why would we follow underdeveloped country policies where we can see the developed and clearly nations which are clearly 40, 50, 60 years ahead of us? And why would we ignore them? And why on earth would we follow countries who are banning vaping from a different agenda? The agenda is not public health. The agenda is obviously to protect big tobacco. So we understand that. And also there's the lobby of, as I said, anti-tobacco. And those are being effective in, you know, much Asian, East Asian countries. But we need to look into United Kingdom, why they are having vape shops inside hospitals, why their general physicians are actually prescribing vaping to heavy smokers. And what they have done their research. Why not take a look at that? Why is New Zealand so vocal and so much? And why is FDA giving certifications, giving approvals to vaping products? They have given many approvals to vaping products. Had it been so much harmful, I don't think they would have done that. So we have to look into the science. We have to understand vapors. We have to talk to the community. That is what I'm saying. And we have to be more reasonable, rational, and we need to think of this country's future, this country's citizens' health in long term. And it will also reduce the cost of the government, because smoking-related health issues are actually draining a lot of money of the government as well. So vaping is a self-funded industry, and the government does not need to fund us at all, but it will generate its own fund, and it will help you help you reduce the smoking-related injuries to the citizens.
Thank you. And as a last question, maybe as a sum up, you talked about like probably the ideal scenario of how it should go in Bangladesh for consumers and for vaping generally. So what would be your message to vapers and to consumers? Because you've mentioned how important their voices are. So what do you think is the way they should stand for those voices?
Before going to that, I think I need to mention another very important information about our country. Is that our import tax for vape product is absolutely ludicrous. I mean, it's 200 and very close to 290%. It's insane. This is one of the largest barriers for vaping to be popular. Because it is not affordable, having this humongous amount of tax. I don't think there is this big of a tax anywhere in the world. So this is insane. this tax needs to go. It should be revisited. I think it should be 10-15% if you ask me. And coming to your question, I think the vapors of the every country should create communities. I know they have, but they should create more actively create communities. They should more actively have platforms where they can share their experiences, their knowledges, the struggles that they're facing, any problems that they're facing, so that others can, because vapors are really, really, really helpful to one another. And I have seen it's a very tight community everywhere. So there should always be, I think, in every country, they should look into forming a platform like we have done in Bangladesh through Voice of Vapors. And I think we have a ton of work to do with Voice of Vapors still in the years to come. And we are determined to do that. And if anybody needs our help, we are here. They can reach out. I think regularly visiting what's happening around the world, regularly staying updated with what's happening around the world is extremely important. And sharing that information is also extremely important. And I would also like to add that people should share the success stories regularly. That would inspire a smoker to quit. For example, if you ask me, my quality of life past 12 years as a vapor and my quality of life as a smoker for 27 years is day and night. I mean, I will vouch for vaping any day, anywhere, 24/7, because I know how good it is and what good it has done to me. I'm not saying that a non-smoker should vape. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it is good for your health. But when you're a heavy smoker whenever you're a smoker, you're damaging yourself and you don't know what the damage is until you're of a certain age. And after that, you'd want to get out of it, but it is a death trap, my friend. You will not be able to get out that easily. So you'll need help. And one of the most successful help is vaping. And I would recommend vaping to any smoker any day. And they should have, of course, they will need some bit of willpower. Definitely, it's not magic. It will help you physically, but the mental part of the addiction, you will have to take care of it yourself. It's not a spell that we're gonna just it's not magic. It doesn't work like that. But it doesn't take that much of effort as well, because most of the heavy lifting is done by the tobacco replacement therapy, nicotine replacement therapy is done through vaping. You just need to choose, make the right decision, and stick to it.
Well, thank you very much for the answer and also for making it to the interview. It was a real pleasure talking to you, and we're always going to be happy to chat with you. And obviously, we hope there will be a space for a sensible regulation for vaping in Bangladesh.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure being here. And I also hope that vaping in Bangladesh and the policymakers gets to see the benefits of vaping and encourages vaping as an industry in this country. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's hope for the best. And to those who have been listening to us, thank you for tuning in. And just make sure to go to the Voices of Vapor Bangladesh and check out their activities, especially if you're from Bangladesh. It's always important to be a part of local community. As for us, we're saying goodbye this time, but just remember, we'll be back with another episode next week. So stay tuned and vape on.